compare the progress of blacks, let's say here in Bridgeport.
The progress?
Yes.
Because Negroes, you know the Farrars and all that, you know Geraldine and all that bunch.
Yes.
Being superintendent of schools was never thought of.
I see. Yes.
Back in those days,
yes.
You see.
Yes.
And as blacks working in banks and like that, as clerks, and working in department stores, where before you could have an accountant spend all the money you want, but they wouldn't serve you a cup of coffee.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
It's been a tremendous improvement. You can get in Bridgeport today anything you're qualified to do, you can get it. See?
Yes.
But back in those days, you could have the intelligence, of course, I'll say, of Reagan, which he ain't got too much in my estimation.
Yes.
He's rich.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Yes. I don't know what your politics is.
Yes.
But that's what I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's no comparison. Today, it's been a tremendous increase in qualifications and jobs that are open for Negroes that can do them, you know, are qualified.
Yes.
But back in the early days, jobs that Negroes hold now were never heard of, never thought of.
I see.
I might say. Now, as I said, they had one M.D., Dr. Bradley, and he had as many white patients as he had colored, because you had to have him, you know. The white, you could get the white doctors for surgery. Yeah, and the white undertakers would bury him. Yeah, and they will, and they do it today. See, but. As I say, now for dentists, we had, as I recall correctly, one black dentist. His name was Gibbs. But he wasn't particular about color. He had most of his clientele was white. Here. Until Dr. Fife came in. He finished Harvard. And then I got back to the dentist. We had one colored dentist, and his trade was all right. He wasn't particular about having colored as his clients. So after he became whether he died or what happened to him, a friend of mine, Dr. McCullough, and Dr. Fife. He took over, moved to Bridgeport, Dr. Fife. And he was the first colored dentist to come to Bridgeport. And of course, the colored one that was already here, Gibbs, he wasn't particular about white colored clientele, see. So Dr. Fife moved here, and this man now, I want to show you a little. They were friends. I knew them when they were in med school. And they came, I was working in a drugstore at that time, clerking and soda jerking like that, you know.
Yes.
I was young.
Yes.
And we became dear friends, and this is after his friend died, Dr. Fifey. Dr. McCullough had taken up his practice in Stanford. He moved here to Bridgeport and took over his friend's practice. And there's a letter from him, his friend that was in Stanford, Dr. McCullough.
Oh,
he moved to California after he and his wife, we all became great friends. And so I always kept that letter here. Every time he moved to California, and after he moved up there, when he comes, he always kept in touch, come to see me.
I see.
And so that's the letter. I just wanted to show you the type of
it. Yes.
That's what I wrote on that, do not destroy. That's it. I retired August the 1st, 1962. I've been retired over 20 years.
Yes.
That'll show you how closely.
What
he's the second colored dad. He was the second.
So, Mr. Collison. What would you advise young people? A long life like you have had.
I'll tell you,
Mr. Collins.
Today is different than when I came along. We never. Is this dope and, you know, things that are thrown their way? Is the greatest setback to all young people, white and black.
Mm-hmm.
See? And the blacks, for the opportunities they have today, so much of it is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
See? And as I say, these are taken up in this doping stuff and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the ones that who have had the advantage of education and like that. It seems like it's the general thing today among mm-hmm. young people.
To get involved.
To become involved. So easily involved, see.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, we didn't have those, thrown in front of. Before us, we didn't know what dope was or anything like that, you know, because
mm-hmm.
We never had come in contact with it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, seems like that's the way of life
mm-hmm.
among young people.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, our people are great imitators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they fall right in line with mm-hmm. it, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But our opportunities today is no question about it, especially the blacks, greater than it's
mm-hmm.
ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever lived to be as long as I am, 85 years old,
mm-hmm.
and live the kind of life that I lived, it's so much ahead of them.
Yes.
See? So much ahead of them.
Yes.
In the opportunities
yes.
and things like that to be. When you look back before Martin Luther King and back in that area in the 60s, they've made tremendous strides.
Mm-hmm.
They've made
mm-hmm.
tremendous strides. You, how long have you, and I'll ask you a question now.
Sure.
How long have you lived in Bridgeport?
Since 1955.
Since 55
is when I came to Bridgeport.
What improvement have you found since 55? It's nothing compared with the 60s, is it?
No. It's your greatest been since.
Since the 60s.
That's the interesting thing about
since
it, because you've been here since World War I. Mr. Collins, I want to thank you again for letting me into your home.
I've had my big time.